This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen.
Greetings for Steve Jorgensen and for Indie Book Publishing. This is J. Douglas Barker. We have an Inspiring Voices release this morning, and our author is Harveline Sanderson. I welcome Harveline to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning. This book, tell me what the title is of this book.
Hello, Jesus Loves You.
Sounds like a book that is religious in nature. Would that be a good description?
That would be, it is.
I have actually looked through the pages. I think it's charming. You've got some beautiful illustrations here. Tell me the background of this. What have you done in addition to being an author that inspired you to write this book?
I've been a kindergarten teacher for 30 years in the public school system.
So children are an important aspect of your history.
They are.
And apparently your faith as well.
Yes, the faith as well.
Tell me about the book. What was your motivation in putting this together?
Well, children today need to believe it in a connected world. They need to be able to understand other cultures and backgrounds. And I thought this book might be a good beginning. Even though they don't learn an entire language, they get to start with the hello in different languages.
You've done this in about 14 pages. Explain to folks what the content is about and how does it work.
Well, to me, it's very simple book, and the beautiful illustrations, it's a children's illustration book, helps a whole lot to get the idea across. But it has beautiful pictures of children from different cultures, and they learn to say hello in 8 languages, including English. And the beautiful illustrations shows the make them familiar, help them become familiar with the background of the language and culture on that page. So I really appreciate the job the illustrator did with the pictures. They're very good.
They are. And Guten Tag is German. And we have Bonjour, which is French. Each of the pages has that basic greeting, hello. And then in English, it says, Jesus loves you.
Right, yes.
And it reaches out to cultures all around the world. Ciao, which is Italian for hello. And then a beautiful illustration of some Italian children and the word Jesus loves me. Or Jesus loves you, excuse me. And you've done this for cultures around the world.
Yes. And to help children have a good feeling about themselves, live in a time where things are uncertain, and maybe if they have a good feeling within themselves, then they will have the strength to deal with the things that they need in life.
Absolutely. And the very last page, which is beautifully illustrated again, we have children from all around the world standing on top of a globe in a circle and holding hands. And the final message is, hello, Jesus loves all the children of the world.
Okay, that page came from a song many, many years ago in Sunday school, Jesus Loves All the Children of the World.
And did you want to sing that this morning?
I don't think so.
I just thought I would ask you. I mean, I've had some authors that have joined us in a song, so that's been fine. Describe the process of putting this together. Where did you get the inspiration, and how long did it take to get published?
Well, I have been thinking about it for quite a while. So I wrote it after I retired, but as far as Voices, the publishing took a few months, but I have been thinking about the book for a couple of years.
And did you know the illustrator that put the pictures together for you?
No, I didn't meet in person, but I certainly sent her an email, talked with her, and told her that I enjoyed the illustrations very much because I had to give an idea what I would like, and she followed it quite well.
What age group would you think this book would especially appeal to?
Young children, from 3 to 7, or even younger, you can read the book to a small child. But probably up to 9 would be interested. They would like it.
Was there anything challenging about putting this book together?
Not really. I love writing.
And what other writings have you done or are you planning to do in the future?
Well, I would like to write another children's picture book. And I can't sing, but I'm a poet. I've written some poetry. I could write poems.
Wonderful.
I've had some poetry published.
Oh, you have? Uh-huh. Wonderful. You wouldn't happen to have one of those poems nearby, would you, or have one that you could quote from memory?
Not right now, but I could get one. I've written one especially for Sister Veterans Day, especially for soldiers, and it was saying we had a light shining to welcome them back home, and I've written a Christmas poem.
Wonderful. And, very appropriate, because today we're doing the interview on November 11th, Veterans Day. So very appropriate that you've written and addressed that particular need in our world. Anything that was challenging about the artwork?
Well, trying to decide the appropriate pictures for each page was kind of, it was challenging.
Well, we hope to hear from you in the future. How do we get copies of your book?
Barnes & Noble and Amazon.
And again, remind the listeners the name of the book.
Hello, Jesus Loves You.
Very straightforward, to the point, and a charming book for, I would say, preschoolers and elementary school children. They would enjoy this book and find it a treasure to get acquainted with other cultures around the world through it. Thank you for writing it.
Thank you. I really enjoyed doing it.
Excellent. And do you have another book in the works right now?
Not right now, but I'm thinking about it. I'm getting thoughts in my mind.
Good. Well, thank you for joining us, Haveline. And again, the book is titled Hello, Jesus Loves You. The author is Haveline Sanderson, an illustrated book that connects children with cultures around the world and shares the universal message that Jesus loves them. Thank you again for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
For Indie Book Publishing and Inspiring Voices, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Hi everybody, this is Pete Dix of Beatles and Beyond. Why don't we all come together and hear some of the tracks off the latest Beatles release on this radio station. Yes, why don't you look up the schedules on this radio station and join me and Beatles listeners everywhere to hear these latest releases from the Beatles on Beatles and Beyond with Pete Dix.
Connect with Juliana and connect with what lies beneath. Friday afternoons at 4 or 3 Central on TogiNet.com. Juliana is a marriage, family, and child therapist who wants people to connect. Connect with what lies beneath, those truths and answers. And through her counseling practice, she has helped others find their personal power and fulfill their dreams. And she wants to do the same for you. Here on Connect with Juliana. Through intimate discussions, intriguing subject matters, and the expertise of her guests. For more on the show and Juliana, check out her webpage. Connect with Juliana in media.com. Juliana will cover it all. Nothing is off limits. She wants to know what matters to you. Make the connection. Tune into TogiNet to connect with Juliana to find out the facts that could be hidden beneath the surface. Connect with Juliana on TogiNet to make a quality connection in your life. Friday afternoons at 4, 3 Central on TogiNet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
Greetings for Steve Jorgensen and for Indie Book Publishing. This is J. Douglas Barker. Today I'm visiting with author Margaret Whitaker. She's written a book titled American History, Through People Who Look to the Lord, a workbook for the Christian educator. This is a wonderful read, and I welcome to the program Margaret Whitaker. Good morning.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Love this book. Did you do the personal illustrations inside, or was that someone else that drew the sketches?
I did them.
You did them.
Yes.
And your background, besides being a writer, what else have you done?
I've taught elementary school.
And why did you decide to write this book? What motivated you?
Well, I started doing some family genealogy. And it started off where I happened to find Levi Coffin, who was called president of the Underground Railroad, helping fugitive slaves escape up through Indiana and then later on up through Ohio. And I said to myself, oh, Coffin, C-O-F-F-I-N, rings a bell as being in my family history, but I had never known about Levi Coffin and what he did. So I started reading about him, and then that led to Lucretia Coffin Mott, one of our cousins, and who was a suffragette and also was a Quaker anti-slavery speaker throughout the country, before the Civil War. Not too well known now, but she was very well known then. And so I just kept researching my family history, found a ninth grade uncle who fell off the Mayflower and was fished out. And I thought, oh my goodness, these might make some good stories. At the same time, I was taking creative writing courses at the Institute of Children's Literature in Connecticut. And so I used my family history stories as topics for some of those stories and get professional editing help. And so they just collected, and I thought, well, a lot of these people are well-known enough and cover the 1600s, 1700s, and 1800s so that I could make a supplementary workbook out of it.
Tell me the importance of the word providence that shows up and is a thread that runs through the early founding fathers.
Yes, yes, it does. George Washington, I don't think this story about him gets into many of the textbooks. They have the crossing of the Delaware, but they had to basically cross the Hudson River from Long Island into Manhattan early in the war because his whole army was trapped by British soldiers on the right on Long Island, and then a lot of British warships in New York Harbor. So he made the decision to cross the East River from Long Island into Manhattan, and a lot of sailors from Marblehead, Massachusetts brought their rowboats down and went back and forth ferrying the American soldiers across the East River into Manhattan, right past the British warships. It took all night, but they had not finished getting everybody over when there should have been a sunrise. But instead of that, there was a very intense fog, and history has records of these men writing about it, saying they had never seen such a dense fog in their whole life. And just as they got everybody across, the fog lifted. And by that time, the whole American army was fleeing north up through Manhattan, and the British were just dumbfounded that the whole camp was left empty on Long Island. And George Washington wrote about it later and said that he believed that fog was providential.
Wonderful. A lot of well-known stories in here, including one that kind of surprised me. One who was a captain of a ship. His name was Captain Starbuck. Tell me about this story.
Oh, I'm glad you're interested because he's not well known, but he's Benjamin Coffin Starbuck. That's where my connection to the Coffins come in. We had a family reunion on Nantucket Island, and before I had to catch the ferry, I went to the Nantucket Historical Association and looked in the file folder of the Starbuck family. And I was flipping through there, and there was a letter off Benjamin Coughlin Starbucks and read through it. And at the it's basically a father-son talk, except he's at sea in Peru. He has his he was a whaling captain and then later became a captain of a clipper ship. So he was on his clipper ship based in Lima, Peru at that time before they were going to cross the Pacific. And he wrote to his son about, "My dear child, God has given to you and to all men talents." And then he closes with, "Our Heavenly Father never fails to send his help to his children in the hour of need." And so I picked the Bible verse for this part from Hebrews 13, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." I think that's a wonderful verse for the children. And, of course, there's a little bit of nonfiction about how he went through a typhoon in China before he picked up his pearl shells and silks, and all the sails of his ship were split. He said he never wanted to go through a typhoon, how scared he was, and a hole was ripped in the hull, and he had to have his men put two sheets of copper to block the water from coming in, and I think the boys would be interested in that.
Describe the process of putting this book together. You have a certain format that you have developed. Describe to our listeners that format.
Yes. Each unit starts with a story based on as much fact as I could find. Then after that, with a Bible verse that really relates to that story. After each story is a nonfiction section, and so they can tell exactly which parts of the story are true. And after that is a creative writing tips section. Each story demonstrates a particular creative writing tip that I learned from my course. For example, the one on the Mayflower, they were arguing during a storm. They were arguing as to whether to continue or to go back, and a lot of information about their previous life was brought into the conversation. And then my ninth great uncle fell off the ship, John Howland, held on to a rope. And now the technique for that story is writing from the main character's point of view. So I asked the children to think about what he would see from underwater, looking up and seeing the sailors look down at him. Of course, the sailor's face would be blurry. And I think the boys would include sketches of sharks and maybe giant squid or something like that. So that is point of view. And after the creative writing section, there's a word study and then questions of to discuss. And at the end, call to prayer. There's a specific question for them to pray about.
So you're challenging not only creativity, but also discovery.
Yes, yes. Hopefully they will research their own family and find somebody that they find interesting to write about. They can ask grandparents, look through family records and boxes of family photos. I found a Union soldier in our box of family photos, and I said to my mother, I said, "Who's this?" And turned on the back, got his name. He's a great uncle, and we'd never heard about him. So I think they can make some discoveries.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Who do you think this book is going to appeal to, and why?
I think it will appeal to Christian schools and Christian homeschools, or any family who would like to do it together. Because if they research the genealogy, they, I think, basically need to get help from their parents. So hopefully the whole family will be involved.
Is there anything else in the marketplace like this that you have discovered?
No. Not that combines genealogy, creative writing, not that combines all of this. Oh, there are some plays involved also, short plays. I think there's anything with this combination.
I think it's beautifully done. Tell me, of all the stories that you've recounted in your book, which of them do you find the most fascinating?
I'm very fascinated about the story of George Washington crossing the East River and the providential fog. I love that one. Also, Harriet Tubman. I would say, as a teacher for quite a few years, Harriet Tubman, I think, is the most favorite character in American history for many, many children. But most of the children's books do not tell how she talked to Jesus and got real help from him on her escapes with groups of fugitive slaves. Recently, I found, I used it in this book, it wasn't that recent. I found a book that she had dictated to a friend, because, of course, Harriet could not read or write. And Harriet talked about different episodes where she asked Jesus to help her, and she had a group of fugitives with her. They were going along a path next to a river, a small river. And she felt that Jesus told her suddenly to take a left and go through the stream with her group. Well, some of the people didn't want to go, but she insisted on it. She did. And they went through, and she later found out that there were people waiting to catch them just ahead.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Fascinating. What was the most challenging part about putting your book together?
Challenging? I think the waits in between times of getting it produced. But I really enjoyed finding this information. I really do thank God led me to the letter of Captain Benjamin Coffin Starbuck, because I was in a rush to get to the ferry. And I really believe he led me to a lot of the Bible verses, a lot of the information, Levi Coffin, and that, for me, that was very exciting.
Well, thank you for writing this book. The title, again, is American History Through People Who Looked to the Lord, a workbook for Christian educators. Our author is Margaret Whitaker. Thank you, Margaret, for joining us today. Where can we get copies of your book?
My website, margaretwhitaker.com, or you could just plug into the internet, American History Through People Who Look to the Lord, and then Margaret Whitaker, and it should come up.
Do you have any other books in the future that we can look forward to?
Well, I've done a series already of phonics, Mixed Up Nursery Rhymes is the title, Mixed Up Nursery Rhymes, phonics coloring books, and there are three books. And I did the sketches, the rhymes, and it with a phonics section that teaches children to read, and it's also for remedial reading teaching.
Excellent.
And then I'm also doing a picture book series, the Stacy series, STACIE, and have a book out. And it will be 7 altogether.
Fabulous. Well, we'll look forward to hearing from you in the future. We'd love to get more books in the historical vein. This looks like a wonderful read and one that our educators and our children need to be aware of. The title again is American History Through the People Who Looked to the Lord. Thank you, Margaret Whitaker, for joining us today.
Thank you, Jay.
For Indie Book Publishing and Inspiring Voices, a division of Guidepost, this is Jay Douglas Barker.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 central on toginet.com. Helen Wu was born and raised in San Francisco's Chinatown, and after a very difficult upbringing, fighting depression, abuse, and addictions, she finally finds herself genuinely happy inside and out. Helen believes in taking our positive thinking and doing something positive to achieve a positive outcome. She's here to make a positive difference in your life, to be your game changer, your aha moment mentor. She's ready to help both men and women get into a better place. Helen Wu is also the author of Self-Aid Success Stories, 25 Success Stories from Successful Entrepreneurs. Inspired by Ellen DeGeneres, Helen wants the world to know that just because we find ourselves in a difficult situation doesn't mean we have to stay there. We can aid ourselves to a better life. So join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 central on toginet.com.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, The Goodness and Best Kept Secrets of Mediterranean Food, Slow Down the Aging Process. And the author and the cook and the chef is Hortensia Greco-Conti. And Hortensia joins us now on Indie Book Publishing. This interview is brought to everyone by Balboa Press. Hello, Hortensia.
Hi, hello, how are you?
Well, very good to have you with us. You've moved from where you grew up. You grew up in Sicily. You now live in Australia to be near your family. Mm-hmm. All these recipes have been in your in the family for how long?
Many years.
Many years.
My grandparents.
So you learned to cook just by being around your mom and your grandmother?
Yeah, and by asking questions.
Lots of questions, I'm sure. Well, the Mediterranean diet, you say, is packed with delicious foods rich in anti-aging antioxidants. We hear a lot about antioxidants, though we somehow, a lot of us think we have to take them in some form of a pill, but you're advocating you don't need to take pills if you eat right.
Yes, you need to eat fresh, especially from your garden.
Ah, the garden. Yeah, that's something that you've been doing a long time? You have your own garden?
Yes, my husband is the green thumb.
Green thumb. Well, that's important. Yeah. If you're going to have a garden, you got to know what you're doing, that's for sure. But the importance of eating fresh fruits and vegetables, so important over processed foods, right?
Yes, yes, very important to eat fresh and not processed, like you said, yeah. You eat fresh, you eat young food, and you look young.
So eat fresh, young food, pick it right out of the garden, and you stay looking young.
Yeah, yeah. You get slow. You get older slower. You know, you don't get too fast with the fast food. Get older fast.
Boy, that's a really good way to put it. I don't think I've ever heard someone say it that way. But yeah, eat fast food, you're gonna get older faster. That makes sense because we know fast food is loaded with all kinds of fat and all kinds of junk, right? That's why we call it junk food.
Exactly. Yeah.
So let's see, as we look at your before we look at your recipes, let me pull up your beginning of your book where you talk about some healthy and wise advice from a Mediterranean great-grandma. Well, we just let the cat out of the bag. Sorry about that, but you are a great-grandmother, aren't you?
Yes. I'm very proud to be a great-grandma.
Yeah, 9 grandchildren, and how many great-grandchildren?
It's going to be one great-grandchild, but it's going to be 2 next month.
All right, number 2 coming. So as we look at some of this advice, you start out with make sure you have regular checkup with your doctor because you can be allergic to some food.
Yes, exactly. You better to have a checkup all the time from your doctor to make sure that you're okay. Even if you eat a normal, you know, good food and everything, you still need to be checked.
Uh-huh. And of course,
this is very important.
Eat all types of beans, grains, dark green, leafy, colorful, seasonal fruits and vegetables. Why is it so important to eat the dark green and the leafy? Why is that so important?
Because that's what our body needs. This is like the cleanse for our bodies, the green.
Yeah, I've heard that before. The darker the green, the more nutritious it is for us.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
And that's why Go ahead.
Some people suggest to get, stuff to go regular. But if you eat green stuff, you get regular every day, you know, because it helps to clean.
And, of course, eat bread, cereal, rice, pasta, fish, and protein, and drink lots of water. That's really important. And most people don't drink very much water today. They drink so many other things, don't they?
Yes, that's why I put it there as suggesting to have water and to remind, because a lot of people forget the olden days tradition, like drinking water when we eat. And there was no soft drink in olden days. There was no choreo or those sweet color drinks. There was water. And people were more healthier.
Much healthier.
Yeah. Yes, much healthier, because water was the drink the Heavenly Father creates for us. He didn't create soft drink. Men did.
Yeah. No, he didn't. It's just good old plain rain from the sky and, of course, the good water that comes up from the earth, from the wells. And, of course, today many of us buy bottled water because our water isn't very pure, but at least we can get good clean water, can't we?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Or if you got patience, you can boil the water and save it.
Yeah, well, that's true as well. So also, chew your food at least 20 times. Why do we have to do that?
First thing is more safety for the children. Second, you give less stress to the stomach, because you start the chewing from up your mouth, and when it goes down, is already half of the work already done, and the stomach has got less work to do.
You even have a list of all the harmful additives. You've got them listed here. Boy, the sorbates and the sulfites and the nitrates and the benzoates and the.
Yeah.
I mean, they go on and on, don't they? The synthetic antioxidants and the flavor enhancers. I mean, the list goes on and on. That stuff is loaded. And when you look on the label, you go, I can't even pronounce this, and I'm supposed to eat it?
What I do when I go shopping, I look at the back to see numbers. As soon as I see too many numbers, I try to avoid this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the processed food, obviously, there's not much there. It may save us time, but it's aging us more, isn't it? It's not saving us time in our age. It's adding probably to our age.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. You said the right thing.
Yeah. Yep. So, well, avoid reheating food, cooking too much in the microwave. That's another. That's something we do all the time. Of course, don't drink alcohol. It's bad for your liver and brain. Don't smoke. I mean, a lot of this stuff, boy, people know, but they still do it, don't they?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why I put it there. I said it's nice if everybody will put on the on the fridge the bit there that are right there on the page that you're talking about. If people put on the fridge, and remember, because a lot of people forget the olden days. Why? So it's good to remember and to reminding to people and to teach your grandchildren, because it's the new generation now. Eat everything fast.
Right.
And eating fast food is not good for the future generation.
Right. Eating fast makes us get older faster, and eating fast food makes us get older faster. Everybody just needs to slow down, cook their own food, prepare it, right?
Just,
especially around mealtime. That's probably the only time we have really to relax around mealtime.
Exactly, yeah.
How many recipes?
Patience,
Go ahead.
Yeah, if you got patience and you want a healthy family, you need to cook, not to do it fast. Because olden days, they used to spend a bit of time in the kitchen. When you spend a bit of time, you eat healthier.
How many recipes are in your book? Looks like over 100.
Yeah,
and you got some really great ones in here. I mean, you love fish, that's for sure. Fish is, I guess that's how you grew up around fish, didn't you, being from Sicily?
Yes. Lots of fish. Meat, we didn't grow up with meat because was too expensive too, so our family could afford meat.
Right.
So we had meat just for a special occasion.
But boy, I'm looking at this recipe for spring salad wraps, and you know, you got mountain bread, avocado, baby spinach, cucumber, tomatoes, olives, walnuts. Ooh, sounds great. Onions, Swiss cheese, blueberries. Woo! That sounds really good.
Why I put those recipes? Because a lot of people, they don't like cooking.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So don't have to cook it. You can just.
Yeah.
There you go.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So you've got tuna and ricotta rolls. A similar kind of thing. You don't have to cook this, it looks like. Fresh fruit wraps and...
Exactly. And you don't need to cook if you don't want to cook, if you don't like to cook, but you still can eat healthy.
So you got chicken salad, and you've got figs, crab, nectarine, lentil salad. I mean, the list goes on and on. You got salmon and smoked salmon. You got asparagus. You got prawn and green salad. My goodness, it looks absolutely delicious. What are some of your favorite, something that your family really likes to eat a lot of? What would you say that? What's the recipe that you like to eat a lot of?
Okay, we love pasta first thing, but there is a recipe there of arancini, which is the rice ball. That is a family favorite food. It's a rice ball. It's a rice ball, and inside it's got bolognese sauce with mozzarella cheese. When you open up the rice ball, inside there is this beautiful melt cheese with the bolognese sauce.
And, of course, we've got spaghetti, too. Lots of spaghetti and different forms of pasta, different pastas, right?
Yeah. We love our pasta. We have a pasta every day.
Yes. I think we all love pastas. They seem, only problem is I find with pastas, they probably eat too much. We have to be careful how much we eat, too, don't we?
Yeah, you don't have to exaggerate.
Right. And eat early. Don't eat too close to when you go to sleep. That's another part of your advice.
Yeah, it's very important because then you can sleep very well.
Yeah. Well, you've got quite a book here. My goodness. The Goodness and the Best Kept Secrets of Mediterranean Food. Help us stay away from manufactured pills and processed diet foods, and we can eat the best if we can grow our own, and then if we can get the best raw food and make it, it just turns into a wonderful, wonderful daily way to live. That's what I'm hearing from you.
Exactly, yes, exactly. You know, I was saying business like a supermarket and things like that, they don't tell you the secret. They tell you just eat fast, quick, easier. But the secret is that you have to eat fresh, not prepared food.
Yeah, eat fresh.
And a lot of people forget.
Well, you're reminding us and doing it in a way that it just looks wonderful and tasty and so good for you. So thank you so much, Artenzia, for being with us on Indie Book Publishing. Thank you.
You're welcome. It was nice to talk to you.
And everyone, you can get Artenzia's book at Balboa Press, balboapress.com, right?
Yes, yes.
And, of course, you can order at any other of the bookstores, The Goodness and the Best-Kept Secrets of Mediterranean Food. And, of course, a key thing, slow down the aging process. So
yes.
That's the key.
If you want to slow
again.
Down. Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much. It was nice to talk to you.
Great to talk to you.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.